Blog Talk Radio.
Okie dokie, Smokies. This is Dr. John, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars, the most interesting and unusual 90 minutes on the internet, I think. I think it's pretty cool, actually. Or we wouldn't keep doing it for 4 years, you know, and have listeners. Thanks to everyone for being here. We love you. I have co-hosts tonight. Thank goodness I have co-hosts, or I would hate to talk by myself. It wouldn't be any fun. Author Dave Atwell, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I am doing outstanding.
You are East,
celebrating Legends Week, of course. Coming up to Legends Day tomorrow. Don't ask me why I'd be so arrogant as to call tomorrow Legends Day, but nevertheless, out enjoying a gifted cigar, getting ate up by bugs, and drinking a Pabst, but otherwise, I am doing very, very, very good, and I hope everybody else is.
Well, sir, it's always a pleasure to have you. After 3 years, I at least have someone I can complain to. So that's great. Glad to have you. Wouldn't miss it for the world. Well, if for the entire world, I would miss it. But anything other than the entire world, I wouldn't miss it. So glad you're here. All right, Indiana boy Todd Saxon, how are you doing?
I am doing well. I guess it's just supernatural tonight since Dave went ahead and took the outstanding part. Got to say greetings and salutations to everyone. And
I can't
believe it. It actually got warm enough to test the air conditioner today.
Wow.
What a concept.
Well, I got mine on here in Myrtle Beach. Thank God I do. Well, we're glad you're outstanding and supernatural. And we have a guest caller in her. Justin, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. How are you?
What's going on,
buddy?
Hey, what's up, Dave?
I am peachy. I hope you are. Good to have you here. Now, peachy, the reason I say that is I was just in Georgia this weekend for the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. Now, I will tell everybody that was the most work I have ever done in my life. It was the most fun I've had in many, many years. We had 358 people there. We had two sessions going. It was great. I got to tell all the presenters when they arrived that they got to present twice. They have to present once at the library and once at the main auditorium because we had to split everybody up. We had so many people, nobody complained, and I think everyone had a really, really good time. So just glad we had it. I can tell you it was really about the most physical labor I'd done in a long, long time. But it was worth it, and the people, got to thank the people in Rabun County and Clayton, Georgia, for being so hospitable and for selling this place out. We really could have sold actually another 125 tickets, and we could have had we could have had almost 500 people there, and we will be able to do that this coming fall on October the 20th and 21st and 22nd. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And just looking forward to having everybody there. I wanted to talk a little bit about it, and I want to direct this comment to Dave.
Sure.
Atwell. We got 359 people counting me, and I guess 360 counting Annie Williams, the nice lady who runs the auditoriums for Rabun County. So we got 360.
Wait a minute, what's her name?
Annie Williams, such a nice, nice lady. So we got 360 people there, and I have 360 people who have either seen Bigfoot, seen a UFO, or seen a ghost. I had a lady basically crash the door. She was number 358. I had to give her a ticket. She said, my grandson was out at the pond where we live. And so we couldn't find him. He was like 3 years old, and then we found him about 11 o'clock that night. And I yelled at him. He said, "Don't be mad at me. I was up looking at you from above." This is a three-year-old saying, you know, these short people took me into their spaceship. He had never used the word spaceship before. And they showed him how to use some of the controls, and they showed him how to look down. And he said that we saw you and Papa, her husband, his grandfather, looking at some show on television. And she was shocked because he was not in the house. How could he have known what Papa was looking at on television? And she said, now, you know, these days he has fear attacks quite frequently whenever he thinks someone might be coming or whatever. And, you know, Dad never had a supernatural encounter when we all three saw a UFO.
Hold on, you're breaking up, brother.
Am I breaking up? I can't be breaking up.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Gotcha. Yeah, there you go.
No, I would say the feds probably got me. And I'll say my dad never had a paranormal experience except the one that he had with me and my mother when we all three saw a UFO and he refused for us to talk about it. And I do not believe that other than Dave Atwell, Todd, you've had one because it's documented in my book, Lizardman, Bigfoot, and Friends. Dave, you may be the only person I know that has never had one. Why would that be?
Well, first off, when you're already at a level of superhuman, a lot of times these aliens and everything look and say, you know, this is probably a little too advanced of a specimen of Earthling, and we need to stick with something that's more, what's the word I'm looking for? A more useful. This young child was talking about, you know, learning how to build the controls and everything. I probably built the motor for their space, you know, for their space ships or whatever they want to call them these days. So, yeah, I mean, hey, what do you want me to tell you? I mean, I don't know.
I told Todd when we were talking our little green room banter before we start. I said, I'm going to make everybody mad. I'm going to ask everybody this question. Because this is something we've never really discussed. It's like, why? Why? I mean, even Rob Maestro has been in an insane asylum doing a lockdown, and he said it was scary in there, and they were hearing things and all this stuff. I mean, even he's experienced it. And I'm just wondering why you haven't. I mean,
stuff that happened on his movie set is a great story.
Well, that's right, where all of a sudden they hear voices out in the woods and they're recording and everything. And so what I want to understand, and I think this is a great pop culture topic, what is it that wants to keep some people from ever talking about this? And why some of us, we just talk about it every second that we can. And you know I do that, right?
We know, oh Lord, we know.
Well, I'll be honest with you.
Be honest.
I can honestly, if you really want me to bare my soul and throw something out there that may be.
Bare your soul, Dave, because we love you and we want you to bare your soul.
All right. As per Bigfoot.
Just your soul. Just your soul.
Yeah. As, you know, the abdominal snowman and, you know, all that kind of stuff. No, I have nothing for it. I have, I blame a lot of it on the opiate addiction problem in the United States. But what I will say is that up until two things that I do feel like there's a little bit of, you know, a little bit. One, I feel pretty 100% in. The other one might have just been one of those things. But for one is Ouija boards. Now, when
okay.
I was 17, they were cutting out Country Club. And, Todd, you know where the subdivision's at. And
yeah.
where all those big fancy houses are at. Back when I was in high school, it was all dirt, and they were clearing out. Great place to go drinking, try to score if you were that, you know, good to go with it. And you could take your car back there and not get stuck. So that used to be the place where all of us would go and, you know, get drinking and get laid if everything was going right. And so a bunch of the crowd had a Ouija board out there, and they were sitting on the ground and they were messing with it. And me, I'm too busy, you know, drinking beer and, you know, trying to talk to a couple chicks out there. So anyhow, one of them yells at me, "Hey, Atwell, why don't you come over here and mess with this thing?" And I says, "Man, that thing is bull." I said, "What the hell's wrong with you guys?" I says, "Why don't you play Monopoly or play Trouble or something like that, you know, being too cool
What's
for
trouble?
The room." So
what's trouble?
That one with the little pop-up bubble that aggravates the daylights out of me when kids are playing it, because that popping sound. But
you see, it's no, I have to say this, Dave. When you asked about Trouble, that was my fraternity name.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well,
which you might believe.
You.
Well, and what happened this weekend is one of our bros got remarried, and the pictures and the video calls got insane. And I'm up there in Lakemont, Georgia, in a cabin that will not lock. I have the dogs barking. I hear Bigfoot growling outside. And I have Brian White and Chad and Eric and a whole bunch of them laughing at me about Bigfoot. And I'm sitting here petrified, and they're all drinking, calling me Trouble. I'm sitting here sober in the middle of Lakemont, Georgia, in the middle of the woods, getting ready to get killed by a Bigfoot or a bear or something like that. And they're all drunk laughing at some Hilton, you know, and they call me Trouble. I mean, you know, I guess things have changed over the years, right? Okay, go ahead, Dave. I just had to get this because I got to give a shout out. Chad Malkus, happy getting married again. Brian White, Brian Yost, everybody, thanks for calling me and making me feel like I was there. Even though I may have been in spirit. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Oh,
absolutely. Congratulations to the newlywed couple. Marriage is bliss. So, yeah, congratulations.
I don't know that marriage is bliss, but it'll be something. Okay, go ahead.
Just a reminder to the married couple that marriage is just like Jurassic Park. At first, there's oohs and ahs, and then you're going to have the screaming and running. It's just the way it is.
And the violent end, yeah.
You see, I'm going to send a message to them and let them all know to listen to this, and I'm going to catch hell for that one, okay? just saying, Todd, using your face back at you, just saying. All right, Dave, now that we've interrupted you 14 times, please continue. I don't even know what you're talking about, Dave. Please continue.
No, it's quite all right. Anyhow, I got... We had
13 minutes
had the
after
Ouija board
about Kansas.
But
just
they were
saying.
Messing with it. And
so they're messing with the Ouija board. Okay.
Yeah. Somebody finally dropped the gauntlet on me and said, "What, are you scared?" And I was like, "Scared? That word, what does that mean, scared? You know, Mr. Cool." So I go over there, and I got a beer in my right hand. I put my left hand on the thing, and they said, I says, "Okay, so what do I do?" And they said, "Ask it a question." And I says, something to the effect of, "Is this thing real or not?" And I'd be damned if it didn't move, right? So, of course, me, Mr. Loudmouth, I go, "Ha, ha, ha, yeah, I hear you guys." And I look down. And there's only one hand on that thing, and it was mine. Took my hand off it, threw my beer in the woods, got in my car, drove away. I said, "Nope, never again. So every time I see those things, I'm like, all right, you know, careful what you're getting into, because, you know, don't get me wrong, if I see one laying on the ground, I'll pick it up, put it somewhere. It's not like I have a sphere of Ouija boards. But damn if I'm going to screw with one these days, because perhaps there is something going on.
Okay.
And the
so
other
you
one,
have, so first of all, you have had an experience there. Please continue. This is very interesting.
And the other one is more personal than it is anything else. But I was never a real religious. I had never really had a belief in the afterlife. I always felt that when you die, it's over with. It's just a long sleep, and there's none of this going to a higher ground and meeting the people that you love and everything, you know, sooner or later or whatever. Never believed in it. And I lost my best friend in 2003, unexpectedly. And 38-year-old guy, strong as an ox, and had a blood infection. So 3 years later, I had lost my dog that I had for 15 years. And the thing about this dog is that this dog had gotten me through a pretty dark time in my life before I had met Dale and everything. And, you know, she gave me a reason to get my life straight. But that dog, without going into the gory details, was the only thing that kept me going along. And when she passed away, and she was a 15-year-old dog, for crying out loud, and time just ran out, but it screwed me up something bad. Then, of course, 2009 is when I lost my mother-in-law, who was an amazing woman, and it's still hard to talk about it because she meant that much. But the odd thing that's happened since then is I've had some experiences along the way, and they pop up, and not to sound overly dramatic or anything, you know, I've had dreams where I was petting my dog and say, hey, your nose is wet, and I'll wake up and my hand is damp, the one that was petting her. I've had my mother-in-law on several occasions pop up and carry on conversations in these dreams that has happened since she's passed. And I also had a friend who I was taking one of these naps. I'm famous for taking these little power naps where, you know, some people will sit in front of the TV and flip through channels. I'm the guy that says, hey, I got 20 minutes to spare. I'm gonna close my eyes for 20 minutes, you know? And
okay.
I had taken one of these little naps. And this gentleman, who was a friend of mine, who I'd known for years, his dad had passed on a year before. And I'm lightly sleeping, I guess, enough to generate the dream, whatever in the hell that they call that is. And I'm dreaming about something. God knows, I can't remember what it was. But he popped up in it out of nowhere and said, hey, I'm going to see my dad. And it was shortly thereafter I woke up, and it was no more than about 5 minutes later, Dale comes out of the bedroom, tears run down the side of her face, and I said, what's going on? She says, David died. And come to find out, he was working on his son's car alone and was under it, and the truck slipped off the jacks and crushed him. And we weren't extremely tight, but we had known each other for so long, and we saw each other every day. And I couldn't help but think that he had passed, and he was going around to all the people that he knew and cared for and was checking out. And like I said, I know it sounds strange, But after that kind of stuff, and again, like I said, the experiences with Charlie, you know, coming back and, you know, in my dreams and everything, it's just so surreal that there's got to be some type of credence to it. So now here I am, you know, tomorrow being a jolly old 49 tomorrow, and I don't doubt it anymore. Now, am I any more religious than I was before all this? No. But I do have a solid belief that there is a better place. It might not be a harp and wings and clouds and all that nifty stuff, but I believe that there is another plane of some type where we will all come together again. And if it was George Washington coming to me in my dreams, who cares, because I never met the damn guy. But when it's somebody who I love my mother-in-law to death, I love my best bud to death, I mean, I love my dog to death, of course, and they pop up like that, there's got to be something to it. Because for all the people that I know that have died, none of them are popping up. Why? Because I just knew them. I wasn't connected to them. So I think there's got to be some type of soul-based connection to people
there
and
is.
Possibly animals. And that being said, there is something waiting. And I don't fear the darkness. I don't fear the darkness, not the point. I had a long, bad choice of words. I don't feel that there is going to be a darkness. I feel that there will be just something moving on. So, yeah, those are my two things. For all the chupacabras walking around in my backyard, I ain't never seen one. For all the guys that have been sucked up by E.T. and, you know, Cartman got the anal probe in South Park, I don't believe any of that. I've never seen any of that mess, nothing. But, yeah, the afterlife thing, I think, has some credence. And the Ouija board thing, my advice is just don't screw with them.
Hold on a second, Dave. All right. So you're going to be 49 tomorrow, right?
Yes,
well,
sir.
In one year, don't rule out that anal probe thing.
Yeah, no kidding. Just as long as Lou Rawls does it, you know?
Look, it's going to happen. And just for the record, the pre-process is way worse than the procedure.
Yeah, when you got to take all that stuff that empties you out. Of course, I don't have any problem with that any damn way, but nevertheless, not looking forward to it. That's an off-ramp to life. Nothing's supposed to go in there.
It's another yardstick. Hopefully a yardstick.
Hopefully will be a yardstick. Yeah, they can keep it to maybe 4 inches.
Damn it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Whatever you do, don't wish a yardstick on me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Brady, don't take us offline.
My doctor was like Jack Keelum in Cannonball Run. What kind of doctor are you? He holds up those big gnarled fingers. Proctologist.
I rarely need more than this.
He says, I'm a real doctor, man. Anyway, okay, that's great. This is exciting. Okay, all right, now, Todd, you're next. And then, Justin, don't think that you're going to be ignored on this one. All right, Todd, tell us about your belief or disbelief. Okay, I gotta say this.
Please, John. Go,
You're in my book, and you talk about you and your best friend going fishing, and hearing something that really shouldn't be there. Clobber through a river and everything. And so you know, you sounds like you have a little bit of belief about something more than knife, fork, and a spoon and a plate. Go ahead.
Yeah, knife, fork, bottle, and a quart. That's the way we spell New York. How's that for a musical flashback? The but yeah, the man, that's what, like late '70s. Anyhow, the no, that's a true story. Pete and I were out fishing. We were on the part of the local park system. We were on the park system owns this part of the land, but it's not. It's more just trails. It's where, like, a lot of the folks are just, you know, I mean, we were down there having BB gun wars as kids because that's not the side of the park where everybody was at. We would, you know, go down there and fish because, again, the side of the park, nobody's at. You know, go down there. There were a couple spots, and, you know, couples might be making out. There's because it was a nice little, neat little plateau clearing thing that actually somebody had managed to drag a picnic table up there. The, you know, so it's kind of cool, kind of just neat. And we had that thing that night, man, when damn insects stop. When that night noise stops, the hackles on the back of your neck should be standing up. You should be getting, what do you call them, goosebumps, chill bumps, whatever. All those little hairs standing up, yeah. And that's when we heard the thing crossing the doggone the river. And I tell you what, completely even left a stinking stringer of fish there, just saying. And I don't leave a stringer of fish for nothing. For
okay.
Nothing. And when we went back, we did find the markings, and it's just, and it's there. So what I'll use is, and I fully get where Dave's coming from. You know, we haven't found a corpse, we haven't found droppings, we haven't found, you know, there's like deer, when you're out deer hunting, you know, you're going to find the rubs, you're going to find the scrapes, stuff like, you know, we don't have any of that stuff. But the interesting thing is the variations of it across multiple continents. I tend to find that a little more than a coincidence. I always have. I just now, who knows? Maybe there's a limited number. Maybe it's something about those dimension doors that Dr. John's talked about. It could be something. But there's just the multiple cultures that have it in the story. Maybe the reality of their existence is in the past. Who knows? But there's just too many stories from too many places and too many odd experiences. I do want to talk a little bit on what Dave was talking about those connections in the souls itself. And I think maybe
sure.
There was part of the bottom line he was talking about. I think his conversation really gave legitimacy to the concept, the soul, the spirit, the something that's, you know, that id that is in people, that thing that would make us different from a complete, you know, computer-based life form, if you will.
Yeah, something binary, yeah.
What you're talking about is very legitimate because there's the stories on that stuff are replete. I got my brother that passed is the one that remembered the story. Mom's too addled now to really be valued to, give value to the story. And the one that experienced it to this day claims, I don't remember it. But he was one that talked about seeing someone and talking to them in the house that we lived in, and that's when we got the news that she had passed. You know, it was one of those old lady neighbors that did, you know, this. Remember, when I grew up trick-or-treating, this is just an example, and Dave's community, he'll remember some of that. Dr. John's got some time on me, so he'll remember some of this kind of thing. You really could get homemade candy. candy and caramel apples from houses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You had the houses that as the parents were walking the kids, they might have hot apple cider for the kids or hot cocoa for the kids to give them, you know. Mind you, we're up here in the north, some of the Halloweens are pretty freaking silly. And they would have hotties for the parents. You know, I mean, it was just a whole different thing back then. It really was. So this was one of those old school neighbors from that time, that place. That was, but my brother had seen her during her time of passing. And I mean, just the story he told, it was just, it was wow.
Yeah.
And so, you know, mind you, I got the story secondhand from the other one, but the one that owns this, that should own the story, claims not to remember it. But it did. It did. This last visit to Ohio, brother and I were running around and just, you know, we're trying to, I really haven't spent much time there since 85. He left in 76, 77, and he hadn't come back till last July when my dad passed. So, you know, 77 to 2018, it's been a minute. Definitely been a minute. Yeah, so we, you know, just seeing some of these old places and the changes and stuff and, you know, the memories that are coming back. And it clicked about this place with an old ghost story. And we may have to wait till Dr. John gets us some more of those, our ghost hunter boys there out of Kentucky that are just down the road from me. We may have to get them up there to... Northeast Ohio to just outside Vermilion, Ohio. There's this place about
that noise in the background?
Yeah, something's booming.
That's me.
I'm guessing it's Justin.
I'll turn it down.
Yeah, Justin. Thank
there
you.
You
thank
go.
You.
Bunch of blood.
All right, Todd.
I apologize.
Yep. But this place was owned by a guy that was part of the rebellion, as our British friends would call refer to us. They're, you know, he was one of those guys, one of the made a name for himself during the Revolutionary War. He got some land out there. They eventually built a mansion. It changed hands. At a certain point, it became an orphanage, and the orphanage had indeed burned down, and there were some just wild horror stories about it. And that used to be one of the places where, you know, in the, I imagine there are lots of places around the country of variations of stories about this run, places where bad things happened. Because you just, you know, you heard stories about the kids. They were effectively farmed out for the farmers for all but slave labor, you know, and they were fed poorly. They were beaten by the staff and all this kind of stuff. And the story was how a place had burned down and a bunch of them died inside it, that kind of thing. And that used to be the kind of place where people would, you know, they pull up with their car and you'd have to be like right at the edge of darkness on a, you know, on a warm summer evening and pull up, have your lights out. You flick them three times and that's when you would hear things or see things or whatever. I don't know, but that's, you know, there have been some places I've gone, some readings, but that's the kind of ghost stories and stuff that you grow up and around and you know there are those things. There's a ghost story where, again, my brother had passed away. They were, him and some of his friends were in my grandparents' house. The house was in the mode between grandpa having passed, grandma had passed several years before, And before we were going to move from the smaller house to that one, it was my mom's parents' house. And he and some of his group were in there, and they were all playing hide-and-seek and doing stuff. And he would tell us how Grandma came to him. She came clean through the closet door into the closet he was hiding in and put her arm right through him. There's stuff out there with the souls. I've been to in particular, certain Civil War battlefields. And I'm telling you that there are spirits, souls, something there that you can still feel the trauma.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, my
folks, absolutely can.
My folks just made a trip. Well, I just made it. Was about three or four years ago. They did a cross-country drive to pick up an Alaskan cruise. And, you know, I was concerned because, you know, these guys are in their late 60s at the time. And I'm like, okay, you know, you're going to check in with me, blah, blah, blah. They were like newlyweds on the road. But when they stopped off at the little bighorn, and when mom and dad.
The real little bighorn, Dave?
Absolutely. And, you know, when they called to check in that evening, mom, they didn't sound like the newlyweds on the phone. Mom was just real somber about everything. And I said, you guys all right? And she says, yeah, everything's fine. I says, so what'd you guys do today? She says, oh, we went by the little bighorn. And, I says, oh, wow. You know, me being a frontier guy, you know, I'm like, wow, that'd have been cool. She says, and she never calls me Dave. She still calls me David. She says, David, it's just so strange. You get out there and you just get a funny feeling when you're out there. She says, there's nothing but grass and markers where they found, you know, the bodies and everything. She says, but it's worse than going to a cemetery. She says, you go out there and you could just feel, she says, and I told your dad I didn't want to be there. And, you know, my mom is not, I mean, for crying out loud, she taught kindergarten for 30 some odd years. That chick can hold up. And for her to grab the sergeant major by the sleeve and say, get in the truck, you know, something had to be amiss there. And connecting on what Todd was saying is I think there's got to be an emotional thing. It can't just be, take for instance my granddad's, all right? My granddad's both recently passed away in the last 4 or 5 years, but I hadn't talked to either one of them. And perhaps that's a social dynamic that has improved with the cell phones and the technology we have now, is that there's better lines of communication. But I hadn't talked to either one of my granddads in 20 some odd years when they had passed. And so do they pop up in anything? No. But people that you see every day, people that you have a genuine connection to, be it family, be it a friend, be it a workmate or a neighbor, or just somebody that you see every day or you relate with every day, I think there's got to be that. So, I mean, in going on what Todd was speaking about, and like I was talking about the little bighorn, I think there's also some type of connection there, but it's got to be, it can't always be, how do I want to put this? It can't always be bad news. You know what I mean? It's always
true.
It's always real, cliched, so to speak, is the, you know, the whole Freddy Krueger thing. Hey, these kids were getting killed, or hey, that orphanage burned down and 50 kids burned and now it's haunted. I think that there are places that could be, I don't want to use the term possessed, but I think they could be populated, if you will, but not for bad things. It's something that people genuinely have an emotional contact to, be it good or bad. And perhaps the hair stands on the back of your neck with the bad stories, because the good stories are happy. You know what I mean? So, you know.
Yeah, there is. Well, let me ask you a question, because just a thought kind of plugged in my mind when you referenced your mom saying it was different than a cemetery. The do you suppose that in cemeteries sometimes it feels like maybe one spot's a little more different than the others or whatever? Do you think if the total burial ground, if you will, because there's more of a balance of good, bad, and ugly?
It could be. I mean, if you read up, and again, American history is one of those things where you cannot believe the first thing you hear. Read up.
Dave. Oh, come on.
Of course not. But there was so much that went into that. Custer's bravado, the arrogance of the cavalry. They thought they were unbeatable. Coming from one side, the bravado and the arrogance they had, I mean, knowing that there was a huge, huge populace of Native Americans in those hills, and there was only 200 of them, and they still marched their arrogant tails in there like, hey, we got this. So there's an emotion, okay?
Yep.
Because Custer, arguably, had he succeeded, he was a big, I'm not going to use the term hero, but at the time, he was a movie star. At the time, he was, you know, like when Mike Phelps was going through the Olympics and everything, and everybody was loving the guy. Everybody thought Custer was the man. And, you know, had he lived through that, there's a possibility that he could have become a politician or somebody more culturally, more famous, if you will.
He would have been Teddy Roosevelt before Teddy Roosevelt?
Yeah, well, maybe so. Yeah. But on the other end of that, because you're right about Teddy Roosevelt, he was kind of sort of the same guy. Probably not as hateful, but nevertheless, he was the same hard charger, beat on the chest type of guy. And he indeed was a movie star, so to speak.
We did have a guy before that.
But emotionally, think about the Native Americans, for crying out loud. These are their lands. There's a love. And I don't know if there's a culture out there, with the exception of maybe the Japanese, that I feel have such a cultural attachment to their land. And, I mean, you look at the English, for crying out loud. The English have, what was it? There's only like 9 countries in the world that they've never colonized. You know, how much of an attachment would they have? But nevertheless, the Native American culture, I mean, that land was their home. And there's an emotional attachment there. So, again, you know, when you go there to that place, the residual energy that I would feel, I guess energy is a decent word for it, but there's got to be something there. You know, that's like these guys who, James Cameron, when he went down in that submersible down there to the Titanic and everything for the movie, these guys who go down there and find these shipwrecks, I don't know. I got to give them the Balls of the Year award, because you're going down in black water. You're going in. The Titanic was in, what, 3.5 miles of water? You're going down in 3.5 miles of water where if one pinhole leak in that submersible happens, you get crushed. You won't even know what happens. I mean, you literally explode from the pressure of the water. And they're down there around a shipwreck that claimed 1,400 some odd lives. And there's got to be some type of mojo that goes with that. And I think, again, it's not blood and it's not religion. I think it's emotion. I think it's emotional energy.
The soul, the spirit, the emotion, the it that is people.
Right.
See, and here we go. This is part of my mind about how stinking real we are, because we started off with Dr. John is going to try to fire you up, and we're sitting here having such a real, such an honest, such a no fertilizer conversation that, you know, and this is part of why, in my mind, this show works. Because we may not be in the same stinking room, but you would be hard-pressed to figure out that we are not while we're sitting here having this conversation.
Absolutely. I mean, Justin, where are you at? You in Virginia right now? Aren't you from Virginia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Virginia.
We're in four different states speaking like we're all sitting at the table. And there is a connection. You make a very good point, Todd.
Were you in North Carolina?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, and
I'm in
Indiana.
South Carolina. Todd's in Indiana. Dave's in North Carolina, and you're in Virginia.
Seems like it's one big diamond. One big diamond.
Yeah. But no, I totally agree with everything Todd said. I think that there's and you know, people, they talk about studying the stuff. Why bother? I think it's something that I got to look forward to. Don't pick it apart for me. I mean, here I am, a guy, I thought when I died that I'd just everything would go black and I'd never see anything again, to a guy who actually feels like there's hope. Don't screw it up for me. You know what I mean? Don't study it. Let it happen. Nurture it. And when it does happen, it's not a ghost story. It's something you're blessed with. If somebody has enough for you, an emotional bond enough with you to come back and visit you, be it one way or another, then you are a charmed person. You are a very lucky person. And, ain't no need in digging in it. Accept it for what it is. You are emotionally attached to somebody, and somebody is emotionally attached to you. That's why they came back. And
correct.
Yeah. Amen to that, you know?
The I know I'm going to be tangential again, but I don't want to bloody well forget it. Man, I was hoping Liz was going to call in.
I was too. But apparently she had a thing happen, whatever it is.
Look, our girl stays stinking busy. Just for the record, I'm hoping it's because you're busy, honey, not because anything bad happened. You know, I got that old man, dad, worrisome attitude, so I'm going to stay positive and say you're busy. But I do want to make sure that we focus a wee bit on Dave's birthday.
Oh, no need.
Just because. I'm going to give a shout out to one of my workmates, Penny. She used a phrase on me because y'all know I'm not shy about my old man age. They all think that my cologne is a combination of frickin' Icy Hot and Poly Grip.
It's a little bit of Windex that you spray on in the morning, right?
Just the elbow.
Poly Grip, okay.
She used a phrase on me the other day because I was like, you know, I'll reference pens every now and again. She told me the other day, and Dave, you might as well get used to hearing this. She told me, don't get your depends in a wad.
That's
great.
That's great.
It is, right? That's absolutely great. And I told her, I said, when that happens, it don't matter whether you clench or don't clench. It's just, that's the way it is.
Don't get your depends. That's great. Hey, Justin, don't get your depends in a wad, okay?
So, Dave, now that you are closer to that step of us octogenarians,
yeah, I got one more year in the club, and then I joined a new one. So,
you are almost there, brother. So I want to recognize that and just, you know, let you know some of the things that you're going to be getting used to. The again, you know, you're going to be giving up those taps and the cigars for a doggone geritol with the Metamucil chaser. Yeah, that kind of stuff's going to be.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I ain't looking forward to the stool softener. That's for damn certain.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I was looking at the beef jerky, and I was like, damn, let me just go for the dried prunes. Yeah, it's just the way it is.
Well, you know,
it's
my joke.
It's the way it is.
My joke about eating, when you get my age, there's three phases of food. Number one, can I chew it? Number two, can I digest it? And number three, what is it going to do to me during the exit? Those are the three things.
Not only that, you know, it's like I told them, I said, go ahead, give me something I can sink my teeth into. Just find my jar that has my teeth.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
I mean,
all right, now say that again.
I said, give me something I can sink my teeth into. Just help me find the jar that has my teeth.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's like now, if I'm going to go to make like a screwdriver or a tequila sunrise, I got to use Sunny D because the orange juice gives my acid reflux such a fit. And I'm like, damn, this really stinks, man. I was like, this is bad.
Oh, man. Hey, brother, but in all seriousness, Dave, happy birthday, man. Dude, it feels like I know it's been a minute, but in certain ways it was like yesterday. We're sitting in there, we're doing the interview for the doggone job, and oh my God, it's been, I tell you what, it's been a hells of a ride since then. Thanks, brother.
Absolutely.
It has been a hell of a ride.
And Dave, happy birthday to you, and you'll get a nasty message from me tomorrow morning when Facebook reminds me it's your birthday. So now you know, and everybody knows
it.
Just, it won't be one that we will not post it on your timeline. So there you go. That's okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
And
you
and
know
it will
what?
It will likely come from Anna Nicole and Bigfoot.
I'm telling you what, Dr. John, you are inspirational. You know what? Let's do a bit of a Dave Atwell happy birthday roast.
Right now?
Why not?
Okay.
Justin, before we, man, what kind of funny story do you got on Dave?
On Dave? It was the Comic-Con that Dr. John invited me down 2 years ago, and
Steampunk Mid-Atlantic.
And yeah, the Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. And I was there, I was walking around, and John pulled me over to the side, and he had me introduced to Dave. And I was saying to myself, I was like, "Oh my God, his haircut! It was crazy." I was keeping it to myself because I didn't want to be rude. But I was like, "His haircut is crazy looking," and the glasses. I was saying to myself, but even though that was going through my head, I was like, "I think I'll be able to get along with him." And I think to this day, me and Dave get along pretty well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but. Yeah, I don't know Dave that well yet, but I'm willing to learn more about him and all that good stuff. From what I heard, yeah, his dad was in the military. That's great. It's very interesting. But I think Dave's a good guy. Hey, happy birthday, dude.
And I appreciate that. Thank you.
Anytime. Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is Dr. John.
Oh, man.
I have to pull one on Dave. Dave said one of the funniest things I've ever heard because, yes, I really did hold the Jacksonville Comic-Con one time at the Econo Lodge, and he called it the Murder Lodge.
He did.
Yes, he did. He said you had to be careful back in the day when you went out there and drank because you might get killed.
As a matter of fact, there's a spot in that establishment that I showed both of you gentlemen where I took a knife back in 1989 when I walked
at the Murder Lodge.
At the Murder Lodge. Incidentally, that's been retagged as the Red Carpet Inn, so now I call it the Red Rum Inn whenever I go by it.
No,
so,
it's more like the dead. It's like the Dead Carpet Inn. That is the That is the nastiest place I ever. I tried to stay there. They gave me a free room, and I went and slept in my car. I didn't dare take a shower there. Oh my God!
No,
it was the worst.
No, God, no. Yeah, it's funny when we were breaking down that con. Dale was with me. And she was, you know, walking out, and I says, "Hey, I want to show you something." She said, "What?" I says, "Stand right here." And she says, "Okay, what are you getting ready to do?" And I says, "That's the very spot where I took that knife in the gut back in 1989. And she goes, "Oh, Jesus." And she jumps off. And she says, "Why are you telling me these things?" I said, "It's a historical landmark. I mean, for crying out loud. If you're going to go to the
Dave,
place,
I mean,
at least you can do a dab. You know,
the least you could do, Dave, is give him a historical marker.
Spot, think about how many times you spilled your guts on that particular spot.
I was kind of expecting a little bronze plaque on the wall. You know what I mean? With a date and all that kind of jazz. But they let me down. I see that they didn't have one up. But nevertheless, it's always good to revisit a place where you took a knife. Yeah, shucks. Why not?
Yeah, well, you were probably just one of those little hash marks on the wall where the, you know, the little, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There's a possibility I'm not the only guy that's been stabbed in that spot.
It's
the high likelihood.
I remember,
okay, so.
I'm walking into the place. I see all these cigarette butts laying there on the deck. And Todd will tell you, when you're running a business, it's that first 10 steps. You know what I mean? You gotta keep up. You know, if they see something bad 2 hours later, fine. But you don't want to show them anything bad before they get in the building. So there's all these Marlboro cigarette butts. And in 2018... not everybody smokes Marlboro like they did in 72. You know, people are smoking Marlboro Lights and Newports and all these other things. And I says, wow, to be certain, somebody can sweep these things up. So, of course, me being the guy who I am, I was going to hit Dr. John up when I got inside and say, hey, you see a broom anywhere? So I'm going to sweep the deck real quick. Well, next thing I know, here comes Dr. John out with the owner of the place, I don't know if he's the owner, probably the manager, the head chief, the high chief. He comes out, and what is he doing? He's burning a Marlboro, takes the thing when he gets done, and flings it right out in the very spot that I was looking at. And I went, ah, shucks, all these belong to the same guy. So,
well, of course they did. I know.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, it has truly been, I have to say, the most interesting evening, talking about the paranormal, talking about beliefs, and talking about everything.
And the abnormal.
And I am headed to Clayton, Georgia again tomorrow because I have some business to finish up.
Wow.
And we will be at the MicroCon in Concord, North Carolina, doing caricatures on Saturday, which will be a lot of fun. And Dave, I will report back on the man who's going to show me pictures of a UFO and a major psychic that I'm going to meet with on Friday afternoon at 2:30. I mean, I have to report back on those next week, but we also, believe it or not, we have a great guest next week. Did you know that?
You hinted in the pre-show. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
make
No. His name is Hunter Roach. He is the quarterback for the Carolina Cowboys Arena football team. And he's just a really great guy. I happened to meet him here in Myrtle Beach because we started talking about Bigfoot. And he was so entertaining. He's got a great story. So we're going to get the pop culture stars get to grill Hunter Roach next week. And he's a quarterback for Arena Football over in Anderson, South Carolina. Great, really super guy. And I know you guys are going to enjoy yelling at him. And I told him he could yell back. Is that correct?
Awesome.
Right,
absolutely.
Absolutely. And then the next week we're working on a very well-known wrestler to come and be our guest. He's checking his schedule. And I'm not talking about Papa Stroh. I'm talking about one of his contemporaries that he knows very well. And happened to meet him under not so unusual circumstances. He's a pretty good guy. I won't give his name out until we confirm him. We'll have him the next week. So next week, Hunter Roach, quarterback for the Carolina Cowboys Arena football team. And that's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, as Papa Stroh would say, it's plug time. Vic, we'll give our guests the first props. Justin, do you have anything to plug?
I'm going to Orlando, Florida on May 24th, probably to the 29th. And I'm hoping it's going to be a blast down there. I haven't been there yet, so exploring a little bit of Florida. So I just hope it's fun.
Oh.
Well, good. We hope you have a great time down there.
Definitely.
Now I'm going to do my plug now first, so that I don't forget. I, Dr. John, will be on the WSE Lounge May 20th with Brian Vaughn. I posted that on my Facebook.
Nice.
I got a lot of, it'll be fun being there with Brian. So it'll be a lot of fun. And here's what I told him. I said, I have to talk about Bigfoot, Lizard Man, monsters, and wrestling. And that's all I know what to talk about. And he said, that's great. That's all he knows what to talk about either. So we're in good shape. Todd, what do you have to plug?
All right. I got, I'm going to do the double plug. We're going to beat up Dave's birthday yet again, brother. Hey, another year. Just a reminder, it's actually not your birthday. That happened one day short of 49 years ago. Just a reminder.
Absolutely.
For the literal definition
literal
of it.
Of your life, yeah.
Hey, you are the literary guy amongst us. But I want to plug my son and my daughter-in-law, Gary and Casey. They closed on their house
a week ago tomorrow.
No way.
Casey had her birthday Friday last week. Guys, it's a new part of your adventure. I am immensely proud of you. You're the absolute best. And I wish you the absolute best.
Well, that's great.
Absolutely.
Congratulations.
Hey,
to them.
And if I may, whenever you meet that couple, you know how sometimes you just run up on a couple that you just know are genuinely there for one another? Yeah, some marriages are kind of fragmented somehow or another, and you could tell how they're just kind of together. But those two young folks, you can tell they have a genuine connection and a genuine love for one another. And they're a fantastic couple just to be around. Every time you see them, you can't help but feel good just because they just click. And hats off to them. Big congratulations.
Well, that's great. Now, I hope that was not a UFO that you heard.
Justin.
Yes, that was my air conditioner. I'm just letting you guys know it was not a UFO.
That was not a UFO. Okay. All righty. All right, now let's see. So we've had, that was Todd. Now, Dave, what have you got to plug?
I guess the it's not a thing as much as it is a word, and that is blessed. And as I turn another year, I can tell you at 49 years, for all the rotten things that I have done, I am not on any type of medication. I am in pretty good health. Could probably stand to lose 20 pounds, but I'm in good health. Good standard. And I think the thing that I cherish the most about where I'm standing right now is that the fact that I look around and ain't a day go by. Today when I was working, I stopped. I didn't stop. I was working, of course. And I thought to myself, I am working with my best friend, who is probably one of the most upstanding guys I've ever met in my life. And
he is a hell of a good guy.
Yeah, and I am truly blessed by his friendship, as I am with you guys' friendship. And that's my thing, is that if there's nothing else I take away from the 49 years, is the fact that I look around, and not only do I have a wealth of friends and colleagues and everything, but they're quality people. They're not dingbats. They're not addicts. They're not, coconuts, like Rocky used to say. And
careful. I love that movie by the Marx Brothers, Dave. I love the coconuts. Be careful.
But if there's one thing that I know I can go to the grave knowing, is that I have a wealth of friends, and they are all of high esteem and quality. And by God, if there's anything you could attribute it to, luck, karma, whatever in the hell you want to attach to it, that is something I hold close to my heart, because that absolutely means the world to me. And so anybody that's ever shook my hand, anybody who's ever said a kind word, or anybody who's willing to be in my presence for more than 2 minutes, I appreciate the hell out of it, because it just, I ain't the easiest guy to get along with. And
no, you're not.
No.
No, you're not. And Dave,
yeah,
what I can tell
you now
is, regardless of what you think, all of those friends of yours will all hate you equally.
As they good because I probably put them in that place, right?
That's exactly right, but we love you a lot. We love you more than we hate you. So, but I just had to say that we all hate you equally just because this is still part of the Dave Atwell roast. So thank you, everybody, for being part of what is this show? This is Pop Culture Stars. It's a lot of fun. Next week, we will be adding back Papa Stroh, and we will be adding back Liz, I hope. And Hunter Roach will be here, the quarterback for the Carolina Cowboys with a Z. It'll be a lot of fun. There are some other people I'll have to tell to listen to this show because we've hammered on everyone equally. So thanks a lot. It's been fun. Todd, we'll see you next week.
Papa Stroll, love you, miss you, brother. Liz, love you, miss you. All
absolutely.
Of you, a group, big hug.
Dave, do we hear with you next week?
Oh, most certainly. Barring any unfortunate events, I will be here.
All right. Well, I guess I'll be here too, unless something happens when I go up to Clayton. And if Bigfoot. Now, Justin, are you gonna be around?
Oh, definitely. Oh, I will.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I'll let y'all know what Bigfoot says, okay? Because I'm going to see him tomorrow.
All right. And Dr. John, by the way, I still need an update on 2020 for Bigfoot Conference Indiana.
I'm working on it. Believe me, I am. All right, you guys be good. Take care. Godspeed. And we'll see you next week, everybody. Fans, friends, and haters. Come on, haters. We'll still love you, too. Pop Culture Stars. Bye.
All right.
Big
hugs. Safe travel, John. We'll see you guys.
Yeah. See y'all later.
Big hugs. Happy birthday.